this thing on? Wow. Look at that. That was a really cool, cool intro there. Wow. Woo. Hey, everybody. And welcome to the Nick and Gene Show, where we talk about everything in the nerdverse. So, spoiler warning, in case we haven't spoiled anything, which we most assuredly will, you have been warned. So, that being said, on with the show. Anyhow, if you got a question or comment or theory to share, please drop it in the comments and we'll do our best to basically get to and answer that question for you. And I'd like to say hello and welcome to our tens of viewers that we have here, the few this show live and listen to us via our podcast. Just a quick note so you guys know, we are coming from you live from the deepest, darkest Essex, Maryland here. So basically, if you hear any shootings, anything going on in the background, this is coming directly into the house. We're going to do our best to ignore it along with all the sirens. and I wish we were kidding when we said that, but we're actually really not. Anyhow. It's 8 p.m. Eastern here on the east coast of the USA. I just realized I said Eastern twice there. And I just want you to know how you can basically watch the Nick and Gene Show. You can watch it live on your YouTube channel at oldworldtube.com, or you can watch it at an Oldworld Facebook page at facebook.com/oldworldstudios. Or if you're on Twitch, just search for the Nick and Gene Show and you'll find it that way. Also, as a reminder, after the show is broadcast live, we basically upload the audio to your favorite podcast channel, which you can search on your favorite podcast provider, or you can watch the recording anytime on our YouTube channel or our Facebook page on the aforementioned URLs, which I can say again, if you like, just for entertainment's sake, oldworldtube.com for our YouTube and facebook.com/oldworldstudios for our Facebook channel, which basically these videos will be posted as we do this live. And that being said, hey, everybody. Whew. That was a lot. A lot of words. How are you doing today?
I'm all right.
You all right? All right?
Pressing buttons.
Now, Gene's doing all the crazy producing work here, so I can always run my mouth and look like I know what I'm doing, which I actually really, really don't. Also, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Twitch. Any of us were out there and I should know about? I know we're on LinkedIn, but nobody follows anybody on LinkedIn unless they really, really go
Instagram.
For
that.
Oh, yeah, and you can find Instagram and Twitter, which I think is Twitter to us. Just look for the Oldworld Studios moniker, and you will basically find us on those channels. Whew, this has been a busy week. It's been a very busy week. I'm not quite sure where we should start. Where do you think we should start?
Wherever you want to start.
Wherever I want to start. For all those people who are basically watching live on our podcast channel, Gene just shrugged his shoulders. So I'm going to do basically a radio commentary of your emotions, you know, just like we do in the old radio theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here comes the Lone Ranger riding his steed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hi-ho silver thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's riding over the crest. He's got his guns out. You know, his faithful friend Tonto. Follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he used to do these things in costume in the radio theaters.
Yeah.
Which that's to my mind, I was actually thinking about this the other day, is, you know, it would be a classic podcast thing to do if you just basically, somebody went out there and got hold of the old Lone Ranger stories,
mm-hmm.
and got like a group of his friends together and they just reenacted every one of the radio plays, how they basically were shown in radio theater.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would make an amazing YouTube channel. I'd watch the shit out of that.
Yeah.
Would you?
Why not?
Yeah, because these stories are free. The basic IP is free. The copyright's gone. So it would make a difference. I think I may just give away the secret sauce to basically the next big YouTube entrepreneur.
Maybe.
Yeah. So you heard it here first on Oldworld Studios channel. Do your own radio theater. It's gonna be the new TV. Well, I don't think so. No. So anyhow, let's start some studio announcements, shall we? You know that work?
Hit them up.
Okay. And that's those again listening on our audio channel. Hit them up was said in a dismissive tone and from Gene over here, who is just splendid in a polka dot blue shirt with little flowers on it. It's very, um, very red, very riveting Rita type shirt. I feel like you should have a bandana on or something. Right. Anyhow. Well, let's start the obvious thing, right? If you missed us at Stellacon, which I hope some of you guys actually went along and saw last on Saturday, you can actually find this at Free Comic Book Day at Collector's Corner Bel Air on August 14th, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern. That's right. They're going to have a summer in the store. I have been promised they're going to find space for us there. I've got a funny feeling they're going to put us outside the bathroom, but, you know, hey, captive audience for that. So be sure to come by and say hello. Basically pick up some more prints and basically pick up one of our comic books. It's going to be Free Comic Book Day, so you know it's a good time to basically check out your LCS, our local comic book store. They will be giving away free comic books, but also make sure you pick up some of the merchandise or comic books from that store as well. Support your LCS, they're the ones who bring you the joy of comic books to you. And they're also Free Comic Book Day is a great day to basically find joy again, because you know you can find a title that basically it appeals to you. Try something new, because there's going to be like, I think there's over 140 free comic book titles out there this time, which is a lot of free comic book titles. So you can always basically dip your toe into a story that you've never kind of read before without actually basically, you know, really taking a big risk. It's a good way to basically find new stories. I'm still thinking whether or not we as Oldworld Studio who produce our own free comic book day book. I haven't quite decided yet. See, obviously, we're smaller, so it costs us a lot more. Costs us money that we can't really afford to burn to do these things. What do you think?
Don't know unless you try.
Okay. Do we do Night Guardians? Do we do Mr. Button? Well, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, you know, humming and hawing about this, you know?
You could do one or two pages from each.
No, one or two pages. I do one on reverse issues, so it's half one, and you turn it over, and it's half the other.
Yep.
That'd be pretty cool, right? Right? Yeah, so basically, we are going to be at Free Comic Book Day at Collector's Corner Bel Air. That's Collector's Corner in the Bel Air, Maryland, starting at 9 a.m. Be sure to check out collectorscornermd.com for full details of the event, or basically see what's going on down there in the little handy-dandy graphic that Genius has put up there. It says Free Comic Book Day, August 14th, Collector's Corner Bel Air. I'm looking forward to the show. I mean, Bel Air's a smaller store, but I always like that place.
Always a good crowd,
good people, and basically this will be my fifth year, I think, of coming to this Free Comic Book Day show. It will be six if it unfortunately wasn't for the unfortunates of pandemic. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can actually get to this one before basically everything gets shut down with the pandemic. I mean, that would be kind of crazy if that happened again, right? So I mean, how many times are they gonna shut us down? I mean, you know, you're not the most overly person, but hey, you know, it'd be nice to get out eventually, that sort of thing. Whew. Anyhow, that's basically some studio announcements I've got going on. Also, be sure to pick up the Mr. Button book. That's at MrButton.rocks. That's still for sale there. It's a great little book. Please do pick it up. It's basically a tale of a teddy bear who's pushed a little too far and goes after the bogeyman and his monsters on the bed with extreme prejudice. And you can find that book at MrButton.rocks, which I think the URL is going to appear in any second down, basically on the graphics below. But you are listening and watching in audio podcast land. It's MrButton.rocks, where basically you can read a preview of the story and find out a little bit more about a wonderfully fluffy, psychotic all of polyester, who's basically really out to take down the bogeyman. So check it out. It's a good read. It's a good book. And basically, by buying this book, you are supporting your local independent creators. That basically helps us make more books, which are not always going to be flights and tides. Okay. I guess we should basically talk about what we've been up to this week, right? Yeah? Should we do a word from our sponsors first, or...?
If you would like.
Okay. Hey, everybody. We've got a new segment going on here. Basically, it's going to be more of an audio thing, more of a visual thing if you're on our visual channels. But now we have a quick word from our sponsor, Oldworld Studios. actually went so smooth. I thought it was going to. Good work on that. Yeah, so basically, you basically see these adverts if you're watching us on our audio visual channels, which is basically AltWorldTube at AltWorldTube.com, which is a YouTube channel, or on basically Twitch to search for the Nick and Gene Show, or on our Facebook page at facebook.com/AltWorldStudios. That basically is from our sponsor, AltWorld Studios, which is ourselves. So we kind of technically are sponsoring ourselves. So, and that's basically an advert for the Night Guardians book that's coming up. So check out the AltWorldStudios.com and please check out a preview of the Night Guardians book and of pre-order it. It's going to be coming out late August. Actually, it will be coming out late August because basically I spoke to Ronnie today and she sent me basically all the artwork for the second book. I've only basically got like 8 pages left.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah, so it's going to make for basically some lots of lettering for me to do, which is always a fun job. But the book is basically almost completely in my hands to basically get moving. So that should be good fun. Awesome. Anyhow, what did you do this week?
Not much other than the convention.
Not much? You didn't watch anything like, you know, anything like Fair Street or anything like that? Or?
I didn't get to finish them.
Oh, you haven't finished Fair Street yet? Okay. Because I know you're watching the heck out of it, so.
Yeah, about halfway, quarter through a bunch of stuff.
Okay, how long is it? I thought it was like 3 2-hour type movie things.
Yeah.
So, which one are you at?
The third part.
So, this goes forward or back in time? I can't remember. Remind me.
Part 3 is in 1666.
Okay, so you're in part 3?
Yeah.
Okay, so is it coming across very Headless Horseman? Or is it actually, you know, really pulling you in?
No, it's been good so far.
Good so far? Cool, mm-hmm. cool. It's good to hear. Well, so you think you'll be finishing it for next week? So we can hear your full thoughts on the series?
Hopefully so.
Okay, that'd be pretty cool to hear. I'm looking forward to hearing what you got to say about it. What else you been up to?
Nothing.
Nothing much, just that? Ooh, okay. I'm happy to report I finished Gundam Wing.
How'd that go?
Well, it was 49 episodes in length, not usual 52, which is unusual for an anime. Mm-hmm. I thought I had more episodes to watch than I did. It went okay. It's definitely creaking and showing its age, I think. Even more than basically the original Gundam animation. Mm-hmm. That's the old 1979 show. That seems to have held together, I think. But this one just feels creaky. And I don't know why. Or maybe it's all the constant use of repeating cells and animation.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like I'm just watching a repeat of the UC-79 story, where basically the hero and the villain have a big climactic fight at the end over a falling space station. And the villain basically goes, you know what, I'm gonna save everybody and destroy the space station and mysteriously disappear in the explosion. Which I think I've just completely given away the end of Gundam Wing. But this is a spoiler show, so it's been and gone and done. I mean, I kind of suffered through it this time. It wasn't as much fun as I remembered it being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is, I guess. Sometimes you just can't go home. And this is one of those shows you just can't go home again. But I will credit it for getting me into the Gundam-verse, the Gundam universe. I mean, it did gateway quite well, but I'm not quite sure if it's Gundam Wing that helped me there, or basically MS-018, which came out almost immediately after Gundam Wing, and made me go, wow, this is actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's good. It was fun. It wasn't horrible. Wasn't spectacular. Wasn't as good as I remembered, but that's just the way it is. There's another Gundam show out called Gundam 00.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much like Gundam Wing, but more updated animation and I think less emo. And it's actually wider screen, so not basically in the little 480 16-1 formats. As a 43-1 format coming, so we'll say what it is. Basically, whatever they filmed Zack Snyder, whatever Zack Snyder decided to do his Justice League in, where basically he just went, well, you know what? This is a true cinematic experience. We're going to get rid of the full screen and give you a little patch like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he did. Basically, he didn't have any effects. But in this case, it's going to be slightly wider screen. So it'll be interesting to see it that way. I'm going to probably dive into Gundam 00 because it's an interesting thing to have in the background while he's doing other stuff. So yeah, I enjoyed it. All said, just proved he just can't go home again, which is one of the other issues. And speaking of not going home again, I watched a documentary as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called A Glitch in the Matrix by Rodney Asher. I know you watched some of it as well. Because you was over here watching it whilst I was watching it in the main room in the big on the big TV. And it basically talks about simulation theory. That basically the theory is that we're all living in a computer simulation that we're all Sims or something. And I've heard this quite a few times. That basically we're just like holographic projections of like light, and basically we give form of it in our minds and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically is inspired by the work of Philip K. Clarke, K. Dick, who basically wrote "Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep," which is basically Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
Or Total Recall, you might remember that one, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like that guy who basically has what Lost Stories about basically the perceptions of reality, and basically how to feel. Now, all in all, I thought the documentary was okay. The first half was really good. I really enjoyed the first half of it. And it's like you got these people getting all philosophical and talking about it, and these basically, you know, they're rolling out this like evidence that basically we're living in this simulation and alternative realities.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting that way, but it kind of fell apart in the second half. They went down a weird rabbit hole of that Joshua Cook. That's the guy who basically killed his parents to prove that he was in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the first use of them, what they called the Matrix defense, which has been used many times since then.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, this Cook kid seemed a little bit, shall we say, did therapy, I would say, the best word. Way before that, he seemed a pretty disturbed kid.
Yeah.
And he's like watching like Matrix like 5-6 times a day. I mean, you know, it's a good movie, but 5-6 times a day. I mean, I those movies I will watch, sit down and watch when they come on, but you know, that's pretty obsessive. And he basically went out and brought guns, and he dressed like Neo, big black trench coat, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided basically he went to his parents, in his parents' room, picked up the phone, did the whole Neo speech at the end of Matrix. So basically, I'm going to prove to you that this reality is false and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes down into the basement and shoots his parents, and goes back up again, and then goes back down again and shoots his mother in the face, just to be certain. And I kind of spent like 30 minutes on this segment. I wasn't quite sure why it did this. It was like, you know, the kid was obviously disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was obviously trying to prove that basically, you know, he was living in a simulation, nothing what he did didn't matter. But they really went down the rabbit hole of this Joshua Cook kid. And I think that kind of pulled you out, the documentary, because it stopped being kind of like philosophical. And it kind of stopped basically using science and proof, and kind of basically concentrated on his kid's mental problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in itself, you can probably do an entire documentary about this kid and what he did, and it would be a fascinating watch. It just felt kind of out of place in this show, and well, it was a thing. So, second half it kind of falls apart and gets pretty self indulgent with the Joshua Cook thing, and then he started padding it out with a bunch of like clips from the Matrix. Like, okay, it's almost like he's going, I had made this 90 minutes, let's start throwing Matrix clips in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, after that, it kind of lost its way. And it lost its luster, and it's what I felt was basically its humor, so to speak. Not with humor as in funny, but basically humor as in direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really strange. Beyond that, fascinating subject. I mean, you know, do we live in a simulation? Do you feel like you are a computer character? No, you don't. No, you don't.
Mm-mm.
You're not thinking you're a computer character. You don't feel like you live in a simulation or anything like that. You basically, your avatar sucks or anything like that. My avatar tried to kill me 8 weeks ago. So, you know, I don't know how you feel about that. You know, I mean, that's a hell of a simulation, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I guess if basically the dog was in a simulation, he probably thinks he's a bigger, Luna thinks he's a bigger dog.
Maybe.
Okay. But anyhow, yeah. So that fairly philosophical, then kind of lost its way. That's the best way to describe that. Also, I watched Space Jam 2.
How was that?
It was okay. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't best cinema ever. It was just fun. And that's the best way. I think that's the best way to describe it. It was just a lot of fun to watch. It didn't try to be anything other than it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the idea of Space Jam is basically the famous basketball player basically teams up with the Looney Tunes to basically defend Earth or save a child from like monsters or something along the space. And it's basically pretty much the same sort of thing. But this time, basically, it stars LeBron James, basically a big basketball star who's really famous. I do know his name, but I've never seen the game. But to be fair, I'm not a fan of basketball, so I wouldn't know that much about it anyway. It's dumb fun. Don Cheadle plays the villain, Ali G. Witham. And he pretty much holds it all together, basically, because he's like, he's just bleeding charisma into the screen. And he just holds the entire thing, the entire premise together. Like, basically, he's this angry algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically trying to take over the internet, and the only person who can stop him is LeBron James and basically the Looney Tunes in the big basketball game. And it holds up. It's okay. It's fine. It really does hold up. There's volume and reason to all the actions.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are relatable, even the Looney Tunes to a degree. Lola Bunny is absolutely amazing in it. I think she was voiced by Zendaya Adala. Dahlia, I never get a name right. Spider plays Mary Jane in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I can never get her name right though, so that's really. I really should. Zendaya, is that better? You think?
I don't know.
I really don't know how to pronounce it, honestly. I never heard it really pronounced. So maybe somebody in the comments the questions or blog can actually basically break it down phonetically for me, and that'd be fantastic. There's some predictable father-son bonding moments and that sort of thing, but it's a kid's movie. So, it's for kids. It's aimed at a certain demographic. So, mm-hmm. and I think it hits that demographic quite well. There's some amusing bits in it here and there. Rick and Morty show up halfway through and basically throw Wile E. Coyote at the Looney Tunes, saying they've done experimenting on him,
mm-hmm.
which is actually, I thought it was really hilarious, actually. But they did it about swearing, which is really even funnier. Summing all up, lots of fun. The movie had context and made sense in terms of what was going on. I'm just going to top it off by finish saying this. The Looney Tunes were more real and more relatable than any of the characters from the recent F9 movie.
Mm.
Everything they did made more sense and more realistic. And we're talking about cartoon characters here. We're basically dropping anvils on each other.
Yeah.
So... that basically gives you an idea of how silly F9 got.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's up on HBO Max. If you've got HBO Max, you can watch it for free on there. I think it's on Hulu as well. It's a perfectly fine, enjoyable movie. You've got kids, watch it. If you haven't got kids, watch it as well. If you're young at heart, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just don't expect it to be basically a Scorsese movie, because it's not. It's not. It's just Looney Tunes being Looney Tunes. And it actually it was kind of nice. It was refreshing. Oh, and there's a great segment in there where basically Wonder Woman and Lola are on Amazon Island, and it's done in like comic book panels. So mm-hmm. they're flipping a comic book in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And Lola wants to become an Amazon, must pass the Amazon's test. And it's just really beautifully done. It's almost like they almost did it like Spider-Verse way. Basically, you got the textures going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really nice.
Nice.
That's really nice. It was really enjoyable. So I'm recommending it as a movie to watch. There's nothing horrible about it. It's great. It's fantastic. It's a wonderful movie of joy.
Good.
Whew. Anyhow, that's not all we got up to this week, was it? Well, we were at Stellacon.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those who don't know, we were at Stellacon on Saturday. That's last Saturday. And we were basically, that's our first comic book convention back. It was held up at Harford County, Harford County Community College in the APG Federal Credit Union Arena up there. You may have caught some of our live broadcasts or at our conventions. Broadcast is basically a separate playlist on the YouTube channel at orbitaltube.com. I enjoyed it.
It was a fun show.
It was a fun show.
It was a really
fun show. You got to see a bit more of it because you wandered around more and did some great live broadcasts from the show. I found it was, well, my perspective, it was good and fun and enjoyable. You know, nice crowd throughout, I thought. Mm-hmm. Great first Comic-Con back, which is always a joy. And that's how I felt. What do you think?
It was a good first show back after almost 2 years.
18 months, I guess. Yeah. I guess. Okay. You know, I know you met lots of Lokis on the floor. How many Lokis were there on the floor?
I lost count. There were a lot.
Another Lokis?
Yeah.
Another Loki? That was basically a horde of Lokis. Would that be a mischief of Lokis?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would be the collective of Loki? Lokis, Loki. It would be a mischief. That would make sense, right? Because you know, a collective of crows is murder.
Yeah.
So I think a collective of Loki should be mischief. Yeah.
Hmm.
So do you think there was enough Loki there to basically constitute a mischief? Did you feel like you fell through the multiverse?
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus wandered off right now to basically fill up a container. So I'm going to keep the show rolling. I keep talking about Starco. It was a great first show. Basically run by a guy called Kevin Huck, who basically runs a company called Transcendental Events. He does a lot of basically nerd and pop culture oriented events. I think his next one is the Nerd Prom, which is coming up end of August. I think it's going to be his third Nerd Prom, actually, he's doing. So that'd be interesting. Just good shows. Look out for them if you're local in the Maryland area. He basically does a lot of stuff up Harford County. I think the next one is going to be in Baltimore City itself at a bigger event, but I can't remember the name of the event right now. So it should be fun. Good guys, Kevin. Good show. Enjoyable. Had a lot of fun. And it was good. I mean, you have any complaints about the show? Anything you like to say about it?
No, I definitely don't have any complaints about it. It was a good show.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Right. Whew. Okay. Well, that's a little bit about some of the stuff we got this week. So, do you know anything else to talk about this week for you, or
no?
No. That's just
mostly concentrating on the convention.
Mostly concentrating on the convention.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you've been you're making a lot of plans for audio vision. So if you're on our YouTube channel at outworldtube.com, it's the quickest way to get to it. Check out the At The Conventions playlist, and you'll basically see some of Gene's work there at some of the live reports. We even do a live tour of the show as well. So, wow. Okay, cool. I guess we're going on with the tradition of the Nick and Gene show. We basically talk about news and rumors. Do you have any news and rumors?
Not this week, I don't.
You don't?
No.
Wow. I've got like a couple.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah. I just want to be doing all the talking, that's all. So, give me 1 second. I'm just going to bring it into focus and I'm going to talk about it. I've only got like 1, 2, 3 items really anyway. Because I thought you might have more because since you're the one who goes down the YouTube rabbit hole more than I do.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to with the convention this past week.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, well. I'm going to start with a suggestion here and dear to your heart. Clerks 3, Kevin Smith's opus, trilogy, whatever you want to call it, it's going to start filming next month. So it's going to be up at the Quick Stop.
Nice.
And it's going to be filming there. So I don't know. Sweet. I'm starting to feel like we should do a road trip.
I think it's a good idea.
Road trip and see if we can basically catch hold of Kevin Smith and hold his great headedness and cappiness. I mean, no, usually when
some good live stream.
Yeah, usually when there's a camera and a microphone nearby, he usually gravitates towards them. He can't help but self promote. It's a thing. He has.
True.
But yeah, so basically, that's going to start filming. That's going to be interesting, I think. Looks like it's promises it's going to be a trilogy, so we're going to find out the final fate of Dante and Randall. Will they keep the store? Will they still be clerks? Will they basically get blasted off into outer space and basically save civilization as we know it in a Pontiac Fiera? Oh, sorry, I'm confusing the movies. Sorry. What do you think? Well, Zoe Dawson's returning too.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, so I think it's a possibility that we could be doing a live broadcast from basically the set of the Quick Stop until we get thrown off putting anywhere near it. That'd probably be the best guess.
Yeah. That'd be fun to do.
I think it'd be fun. It'd be interesting to see if we can catch a peak of the production.
Yeah.
If anything. Because I know, so that should be good. Fair Street. We'll talk about Fair Street now. the director wants to make it a horrorverse. So it's gone on record to say they want to make it basically like the MCU.
Hmm.
Now, what you've told me already is in three parts, right? At the moment. So do you think it could hold together and do that?
Maybe.
Oh, well, maybe. Okay, cool.
Ask me after I finish watching.
I'll see if you finish watching it. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was kind of cool that basically they're thinking of making a horrorverse out of it. And it already sounds like they're using connective tissue already, which is good. And already one step ahead of Paramount's MonsterVerse, where basically it just fell apart for some reason because they decided to be all dark and serious and didn't figure out that. If you inject a little bit of humor in it, like the Mummy, the old Brendan Fraser Mummy movies, that basically you would see a little bit more joy, a little bit more fun, but still can make it horror at the same time. You can make a horror comedy. It's simple. It really is simple as that. Action, adventure, horror comedy. There we go. There's a genre for
you. Yeah.
Anyway, so basically I thought that was kind of neat. And speaking of MCU, I've got one little piece of news I found.
Okay.
And it's a tiny piece of news. I mean, you know, I'm not sure how many people have reported on it, but I thought it was kind of interesting since Elizabeth Olsen has started filming or has finished filming her scenes for Doctor Strange. She has stated that the Young Avengers are coming.
I told you.
They have been telegraphing this. So, but take out a pinch of salt. Because, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, so we know Doctor Strange has been filmed. We do also know that was apparently a leaked segment showing that basically Doctor Strange meditating in astral form and apparently blips back to Slovakia or wherever Wanda is in her cabin. And she's in her astral form and they have a conversation or something. And she's going crazy trying to basically break the dimensional barriers to basically get her kids. So whether she is a protagonist, an antagonist, or an accidental antagonist, still remains to be seen. But I thought it was good. I thought it was interesting news there.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So there we go. I think we should run an ad from all our sponsors. Okay. Right. Well, we just reached the end of the segment here. Our next thing we can start talking about basically our two tempo segments is basically going to be the Bad Batch and Loki. But before that, here's a word from our sponsor. Of World Studio. Hey, we're back, and that was basically a quick ad about the Night Guardians book, or the Teddy Bear Tales Night Guardians, which basically you can reach at thenightguardians.com or theteddyverse.com or even at oldwoodstudios.com. So please go check it out and pick up a book and basically help this show continue. That would be great. Thank you very much. We do appreciate your time and your custom. And thank you very much for our sponsor, Old Studios, which is us. But you know what? Until we pick over sponsors, we are paying for ourselves. So let's make some hay out of that. Whew, okay. Bad Batch. The Bad Batch. The tale of four intrepid clones who are basically trying to find their way in the universe with Omega, the little baby clone. Or basically, it's almost like, you know, four dads and a baby. Or four dads and a little lady.
Yeah,
it's a good way to describe it. Just happens to be in the Star Wars universe. It's kind of like basically part two of the Ryloth saga. So
it's kind of picked up where it left off.
Picked up for the rest. It's called Rescue on Ryloth. So it could pretty much tell us what's going to happen in it, and it's basically the Bad Batch are basically recruited to basically rescue General Sham and Eleni from the Empire. Now they're basically the parents of Hera Sedani, or Sedon, who's basically the pilot of the Ghost from the Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the Bad Batch are recruited into this mission. They're not really. Hunter doesn't really want to get involved because it's a pretty big thing, and Crosshairs is actually on the planet as well, and he doesn't really want to get entangled with the Empire too much because they're still trying to figure out their place in the galaxy. And you know, I kind of understand if you looked and said they're kind of picking, choosing their missions. And a lot of their missions are like smash and grabs, that sort of thing. Basically, yeah. Our supply runs, which are safer. But at this point, Omega wants them to basically go in and confront basically an Imperial garrison to rescue two people. And I can understand his reluctance in that, even though he's just like Rambo. You think he'd just go in with basically a bow and arrow and take them all out. So we get that. Basically, they start off the mission, and Omega and Hera go off to the refinery with Tech and Echo to basically cause a distraction, whilst Hunter and Wrecker go to the fortress to basically rescue the General Cham and the lady. Some comedic elements featuring Chopper, the little astromech droid,
mm-hmm.
Who is a lot more vindictive and meaner than R2-D2, to say the least.
Yeah.
And but seems to be absolutely crap at anything to do with computers, which pretty much tracks with the character.
Mm-hmm.
One of the interesting things about it is basically we encounter a clone trooper captain called Hauser, who somehow he's having a change of heart about his allegiance to the Empire, which makes me think, oh, is his control chip degrading? You know, and because the control chip ensures their loyalty, so he should be basically be loyal to no matter what. But he seems to be basically overruled by his feelings that everything is wrong. So you feel how is his feeling something really wrong?
Yeah,
and basically he actually acts on that instinct, which is I thought was kind of interesting. Because Captain Hauser acts on his instinct to basically assist the Bad Batch managed to get away with General Cham and Eleni. And he basically confronts his brothers, or basically his squad, and asks them to join him. And in this case, four or five of them actually change sides and join Hauser, which I was thinking was going to see like a clone and clone fight, but they just put their weapons down and get arrested, which is like a little, I thought it was a little anticlimactic from basically Hauser's change of heart, but maybe we'll see more of that in a future episode. Maybe the Bad Batch go find Hauser. Who knows? So I thought that was interesting in that way. I mean, it was a fun little Star Wars yarn. I'm not too certain what the full direction of basically Bad Batch is going. It's definitely been turning into four men and a little lady type show.
Mm-hmm.
Crosshairs has been basically dispatched now to basically has requested permission to hunt down the Bad Batch. So maybe we'll start seeing the episodes get a little bit more desperate, a little darker. As they basically, as Crosshairs confronts his old teammates, and we'll see whether or not basically it really is the control chip, or it's Crosshairs just generally just not a very nice guy who just happens to work for the good guys at that time, and see if they see the final confrontation between him and Hunter, which will probably be the season finale. I think it's episode 12 or 13 now. I can't remember. Are you keeping track?
Episode 12.
Okay. I think we've got another four or five left. Okay, we'll see what actually comes from there. But no, it's an interesting little Star Wars show. Great Star Wars yarn. It's not breaking any real crazy ground, but it is showing up the set of the Empire. But again, it truly is another kid show. So go watch out for it. It is what it is. It's basically everything it says. It's on the label. It doesn't do anything really too differently. I really didn't think too off the wall either, I thought. So that's my thoughts about the Bad Batch. Do you have any thoughts?
It's a good episode.
Okay, now, the moment you've all been waiting for. This is the meat of the show. The Loki finale. Should be always fun. Do we have any more sponsors to come up with like that, or are we done with them?
There's one more.
Oh, there's one more, so we can run one more sponsor out before we basically talk about the Loki finale. So we'll be right back after our word from our sponsor, Altwood Studios. We'll be right back. And that was an advert for Mr. Button Dog Ox, the comic book of about a psychotic little teddy bear who's reached a breaking point and is basically enacting vengeance upon the Boogeyman and the monsters on the bed with some extreme prejudices. You can check out and preview his book at MrButton.rocks. Please do, to help us out and help our sponsor, which of course is us, because we don't have any sponsors at this moment in time. So all money will flow to us to basically help us create more comic books and basically a better show. It won't be exactly coming from our kitchen counter, so you can see the cats wandering around behind us, something like that. So that's at MrButton.rocks. Please check it out. We do appreciate it that you do. Also, you can view the adverts in full on our YouTube channel at altworldtube.com. Even I view them inside this recorded segment on Altworlds at our Facebook page at facebook.com/altworldstudios. I think that's everything right? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did I get anything out?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I seem to be spitting out lots of words here, and I'm kind of like, you know, losing track of where I am. Whew! Okay, let's talk about Loki.
Let's talk about Loki.
Wow. Yeah. Spoilers, but we already told you at the start of the show. But spoilers anyway. Yeah. This is the final episode. You see me, did you feel this show could have run a couple more episodes before it got here?
Yeah, definitely. Did you
also feel that basically the last two episodes were kind of rushed, pushing things together?
Maybe a little.
Yeah, because it felt like basically it's like, oh my God, by the end of the show, we've got to talk about the end part of the show. We've got to get to the finale. Because
mm-hmm.
That's how it kind of felt a little bit to me. But yeah, this is the big reveal. We finally find out who is behind the TVA, the Time Variance Authority. And it's surprisingly comic bookish, I thought. You know, they didn't give us any, they didn't throw any real surprises to us, except for basically they debuted a major cinematic villain. But didn't debut as Amazing Cinema Man all at the same time. I was not expecting to see what we saw. Were you?
No.
Nobody was expecting
to see what we saw.
Yeah. We had all these theories that is.
But we thought it could be.
We did actually say yes, and I will point this out now. We were half right when we said we're thinking Mortis is going to turn up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we said. We thought Mortis was going to turn up, but then we dismissed it by saying there's no way they're going to introduce a major character like that in basically the Disney Plus show because you have no emotional connection to it.
Yeah.
So we basically, our theory was basically Loki and Sylvie were going to turn on each other, which they kind of do a little bit, and it's going to be a big betrayal, which kind of still was a kind of betrayal, but it wasn't what we thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the big villain was either going to be Sylvie or Loki. And they kind of both turned into the villains. Sylvie definitely got a bit more villainous, I think, but within context of what she was feeling.
Yeah.
So we're kind of halfway there as well. So we go back in time and go, I think our predictions in our last podcast were halfway there. Which I'm going to give us
I don't think we were too far off.
I don't think we were too far off. I think we were pretty much on the game. We got it right. To a certain degree. Where do we start? I mean, you know, do you want me to start doing a rundown of the show and you can jump in?
Good.
Okay. Again, where do we start? The show pretty much starts and we're basically zooming into basically the Citadel at the end of time. It's basically on a big wrecked planet and we see the timeline around it and it's white and it's clean and it's crisp, right? And it's flowing with energy, and it all seems to be going the right way, and it looks pure and, you know, beautiful and managed and that kind of fun stuff. And we zoom into that, and we see it's going right around the circle, which I thought was kind of interesting as well. And we zoom into that, and we basically keep zooming in to basically finally see Loki and Sylvie hand in hand walking towards the castle.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to the castle door, and in old true traditional castle creepy castle tropes, the door opens for them.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have a creepy castle in a creepy castle movie, and basically not have the door open automatically. It's a thing. It really is a thing. So they basically look at each other before stepping through the threshold, and they basically step into the threshold, and who greets them? Miss Minutes greets them. And Miss Minutes gets really creepy. And I thought a little nasty too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like, you know, and old tributes to Tara Strong and her voice acting here, because she's not seeing what's going on. I think she sees like a sort of rough of them acting to prompted lines, and then she filled in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
So old props to Tara Strong to basically giving this character this much pathos just using her voice alone. I guess that's why she's a famous voice actor, right?
She's good at what she does.
She's really good at what she does, but you really see why she's really good at what she does in this episode. So the goodbye, Miss Minutes. It goes, hey, y'all. You can do a much better one than I can, but you're not going to. Go, please, just do one. Come on, just one. You're from the South. You can do it better than me. No?
I have to practice.
You have to practice. You can't do a hey, y'all. Yeah.
I have to practice it first.
Okay. Well, you're literally from North Carolina. You should better do it much better. It should be a natural thing for you.
Yeah, but I have to get into the...
Okay. But anyway, so basically, she explains to Loki and Sylvie that basically they can have everything they've ever wanted, and he who remains will set it up for them. All they have to do is basically leave,
mm-hmm.
basically, and agree to the terms and leave. And Loki will basically be the king of Asgard and rule it forever, and Sylvie will get to basically live her life at whatever her variant decision was. And basically, he who remains will make it happen. She refers to him as he who remains. And they, of course, refuse the deal because they want to see who it is they're coming for. Loki's are naturally curious. So I kind of expect them to basically, you know, do that anyway. And with Loki's as well, you know, they're going to take the deal, and they take the deal from the highest possible person they probably can possibly get. It's like inflated sense of importance. So they refuse the deal, and they go further into the Citadel, leaving Miss Minutes behind. Now, I did read somewhere that basically Miss Minutes and Loki were supposed to fight.
Mm.
So I'm just trying to imagine how that fight would happen. Mostly, like, you know, be a slapsticky type affair, or like a... our Finley swordy thing, or
I don't know.
You know,
can we just walk right through her?
Well, no, because I guess she becomes solid or something. I guess, or she becomes like gigantic Miss Minutes.
Maybe that went interesting to see.
Yeah, but I thought that was kind of an interesting little fact. So anyhow, as Sylvie and Loki push deeper into the Citadel, we cut back to the TVA. And we basically find Ravonna's asking Miss Minutes what's taking her so long. And Miss Minutes appears and goes, she couldn't find what she was looking for, but he has this file for you, which he thinks you will find useful.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Minutes gives Ravonna this file, who starts looking at it on a time pass with this like huge shocked expression on her face. And Miss Minutes disappears. Also, while she's reading the file, she looks over and looks at the stain on the table where Mobius Glass was glass around. Looks like she's missing him being there, like he was like someone to talk to, and she really did see him as a friend, even though she did try to kill him. But you know, it's Marvel, and relationships are complicated in Marvel. So, and then basically we cut back to the Citadel, and Sylvie and Loki are still walking through it. And we get to a chamber that has four statues in it. But one statue is smashed to pieces, and it's on the ground. And there's a little, like, Loki checks the dust on the statue, and it looks like it's been there for... This has happened a very, very long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know who the fourth guy is at all, or not?
I don't think we do know.
Nobody really knows?
No.
But given the revelations we hear later on, do we think it's another aspect of him?
Could be.
Okay. Because the entire set has got this, like, rundown feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, basically, he who remains is kind of, like, retreated from the outer parts of it and just gone to, his inner sanctum, like, his office.
Mm-hmm.
And just let everything just to fall apart because he really doesn't care that much about it, especially when we meet him, he who remains, in a minute or two. And we get an idea of exactly what's kind of been going on. As the Loki's looking at the statues and basically seeing the dust, there is a ping, like a lift. A lift has arrived, which I thought was a very neat lift motif.
Mm-hmm.
And And then basically, you come back to Sylvie and Loki who pull their swords, and the doors open. And I couldn't remember this segment correctly. So on my notes, I say they come back to the TVA. So we're just going to come back to the TVA because I can't remember if we actually see who the character is. So he's in silhouette at this moment.
Mm.
I think he's in silhouette when we first see him. And both of us went, no way, they're going to show him. Because
mm-hmm.
we didn't think this was going to happen. So we come back to the TVA. Ravonna's in her office. Mobius breaks into her office. He's got a pruning stick, and they have a discussion about free will. You know that she tried to kill him whilst calling him her friend, and you know that kind of stuff. But she goes, "Oh, I always thought you'd be the one who'd ever escape from there,
yeah,
from the end of time, the void, I should say." And as they discuss to get back, we find that basically Mobius has sprung B-15. And has sent her on a mission to basically find Ravonna Prime. It's the best way to describe it, I think. Location. So basically, he can prove to the Minutemen that are following B-15 that Ravonna is a variant. And they're all variants.
And they've all been lied to.
And Mobius is like a proof of concept. Like, hey, she exists, but she's here. And that kind of thing. But we don't see much more of that scene apart from the Minutemen bumping into Ravonna, which we find out that she's actually a school teacher or a school principal, mm-hmm. which apparently is a theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. We cut back to basically Ravonna and Mobius. The discussion gets heated. They get into a fight. Ravonna, who has been a hunter, easily overpowers Mobius and knocks him to the ground. And then basically she picks up her time pad, opens a time door, and Mobius on the ground asks her, where are you going? And she goes, to claim free will. And she walks to the doorway and disappears. So we've got no idea what's in the file or where she's going. Mobius has got no idea where she's going, but we're left with this cryptic free will comment. And then we come back to the time set though again. And obviously the lift is opened. Well, at this point, both me and you are going, no way. Now, I'm pretty certain I've probably got this segment out of order. And we find out, he steps into the light, eating an apple, is Kang, or a variant of Kang. He Who Remains, who's played by Jonathan Majors, or Mayers, I should say. I think that's right?
Yep.
And he is a Kang variant. We know basically the main villain in the MCU is going to be Kang. So we already know this is a Kang variant going on here. So basically, this is a spoiler here, just guys, you know. So He Who Remains is a Kang variant. Now, at this point, I'm going to start calling him Immortus, but I don't think he's truly Immortus. I think he's Immortus at end of Immortus' lifespan.
Hmm.
Because at this point, he's slightly kooky, to say the least. He's like, you know, lived too long, gone insane type thing.
Yeah.
I think. So I don't think he's truly Immortus. So I am going to start referring to him as Immortus as we go forward. Just make my notes make some kind of sense. And here's me trying to basically slip my notes up using my finger like I've got a touchscreen.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one second. I'm just going to take this out here so I can see what's going on. So they obviously try to kill him and fail because he's got a time pad and he keeps jumping around them and their attempts to kill him. And then basically he gets them to go into the lift with him, and they try it in the lift, and he basically says he's basically giggling like, kid, I knew you were going to do that, haha, you can't get me, I knew you're going to, and he keeps popping up all around them.
Mm-hmm.
Now at this point I think Jonathan Mayers has done a lot of improv, and basically I didn't know this, he's a classically trained clown.
Mm.
So where's the custard pies? Is he supposed to put poor Mook down Loki's trousers?
Maybe we'll see that next season.
He's a classically claimed tomfoolery fool. So that's why you're seeing him basically over-exaggerating his movements, I think. And they basically arrive in Immortus' office, basically giving up trying to kill him because they can't, because he's using his little time pad on his wrist. And he tells him, says, I knew you were going to do all that because I've known everything that's about to happen now. I've been waiting for you guys to come here. And they go, well, if you knew anything was going to happen, why don't you just bring it here? And they said, you had to go on the journey.
Yeah.
To get here. Which is very like, wow, that's very high-handed of you. So Immortus then basically, they try to kill him a couple more times. And he zips around the desk and then hanging over the back of the chair. And they just give up and sit down. And he pours some, like, I think, tea, I think. And he goes into an explanation of what's going on. So we get some exposition here.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains he was once a scientist called Nathaniel Richards. So there is another Kang link and a Fantastic Four link there as well. Just in case you guys are basically keeping track. And he kind of discovered the multiverse was basically universes layered on top of each other, mm-hmm. which is basically how Marvel explains how the multiverses work. And he first encountered variants of himself after discovering the multiverse. But they were all kind of peaceful and collaborative, and then basically sort of getting jealous of each other and wanted each other's work and territory. Some evil variants were found. And then basically there was a huge, huge multiverse war broke out, the multiverse war, he calls it. And he decided that basically he was the only one who could keep control. But the interesting thing, when we see... And he's talking about it. There's basically, he uses like an anamographic type model. Like he's changing, showing various things happen. Mm-hmm. And in this anamographic model of the concentrator, you start seeing the TVA's technology being used, pruning sticks, time resets, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And even the time doors. And he says he created the TVA to control variations, control chaos, to stop the war from happening ever again, to keep order. And the TVA is his. You know, he said the beautiful, wonderful bureaucracy works to basically maintain order. And he's been doing this for like eons, which is pretty much what we got from Morbius and Rivana when they were talking about it anyway. They say we've been doing this for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's tired now and he wants to give it up and he doesn't want to do this anymore. And he wants to give control of the TVA to Loki and Sylvie. So they can take over from him and build something different or better. The Sylvie and Loki start looking at each other like that. They're not sure what could say here. Sylvie's got this expression on her face like, I'm still going to kill him. Loki's got this hear him out look in his face, but also looks utterly kind of terrified at what Immortus kind of represents.
Mm-hmm.
Like a total futility of action.
Yeah.
So they start discussing amongst themselves why basically Immortus kind of pokes at Sylvie saying, are you sure you've never trusted anybody in your life? You've been doing this for longer than he's been alive sort of stuff. And the pokes at Loki and saying, you know, now you're going to start trusting people. And basically, all you've done is hurt people. So he pokes at him a little bit. I think he's definitely trying to get a reaction he wants out of him.
Yeah.
The discussion gets really heated. And they get really angry, and they have a small fight, Sylvie and Loki, which we knew was coming. We knew they were going to fight. We'll get to this point. We knew there was going to be another fight between the two, but we thought it was going to be like a big betrayal fight.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they were fighting basically. Loki was basically trying to stop Sylvie from killing Immortus because he wanted to hear Immortus out completely.
Yeah.
Before basically, and he says, "Let's hear him out. Maybe we can make the TVA into something better," which is an odd word coming from Loki. Because it's all about him. But now he's thinking collectively, can we make a better thing out of it? And it's like he's horrified that his entire glorious purpose, it has been pre-planned that he has no free will. Mm. And I think with Loki, that's a horror show for him. That he thinks at this point, all the actions that he's ever done, all the chaos he's created, all the people that he has hurt, it's all because he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody tells the Prince of Mischief what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody pulls the strings of the Master Manipulator.
Yeah,
and I think that's why he's really terrified about Immortus. Because all along, Immortus has been pulling his strings.
Mm-hmm.
But something happens as they're having this argument discussion thing. Like they pass through an event horizon,
mm-hmm.
and Immortus's expression changes, and you're like, oh, it's finally here. And the light changes and it's a rumble and something.
Yeah.
And they cut outside and you start seeing the timeline fracturing a little bit. It's gone from a perfect circle to those little branches that start coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if everybody can actually hear it, but just outside the house, somebody's grinding metal. hoping it's not coming out of the mic. I know I kind of broke the tone here, but it's just kind of like, that's weird. What's going on? It's middle of the night. It's dark outside, you know? Maybe they're making spears to basically come take us down. Flaming torches and pitchforks. Anyhow, they passed through an event horizon type thing, and Immortus' expression changes. He's gone as supreme confidence that he has. Instead, he looks a little scared and a little worried, and he goes, I don't know. We've passed that point.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains, at this point forward, I don't know what's going to happen. I've never seen beyond this point to this kind of thing. Everything's about to change, and what happens next is in the hands of you guys, Loki and Sylvie. And then basically that's when a real big fight kicks off between Loki and Sylvie.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvie goes to kill him because she thinks she's got her free will to kill him. I still at this point think he's manipulating them. He wants to die, and he wants to be killed by one of them. So he's definitely manipulating at this point. And he may actually know. We sort of know that he actually doesn't know what's going to happen to him. But it's actually a proper big fight between them. Like, you know, things get thrown around, there's damage, there's sword fights, sword blows exchanged, all that kind of crazy stuff. And then it stops for a second. It's Loki and Sylvie are face to face, and Loki goes, all I want to do is basically keep you safe.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a very tender moment, but Sylvie's eyes get really, really, really cold, and they kiss for a second, and then she magic blasts him through a time door, and he realizes that she actually got hold of Immortus' time disc and summoned the time door, and basically kicks Loki through it, and the time door shuts behind him. She's been on this quest to revenge for such a long time. She has to complete what she's doing. And she's left alone with Immortus. And Loki bunches the time door and finds himself in the TVA.
Mm-hmm.
At least we think it's the TVA. And that's, I'm going to leave that hanging for a second. We cut back to the Time Citadel. Sylvie talks about basically some of the stuff, knocks the desk out of the way. Jonathan Myers is like holding onto the arms of his chair. He knows he's about to die. And the outside, we've seen the timelines really fracturing up now. It's like the branches are splitting into smaller branches, into little tributaries, and it's basically it's just broken. Everything has finally broken.
Mm-hmm.
And she kills him, stabs him through the chest, and his last words he says is, "I'll be back. See you again soon."
Yep.
Because he knows a variation of him. Now he's dead. The variants are coming back. And a version of him is going to come. Come either claim the Citadel in the time, claim the TVA. He just knows this is going to happen then.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically that scene ends with Sylvie staggering back and forth and basically sitting down hard on the ground looking at Immortus' dead body. At this point, she's taken her revenge, her long mission, which she said she's been at since before even Loki was born. And Loki's about 2,000 years old. It's over.
Yep.
And I don't think she knows what to do now. She has no idea what to do or what to mm-hmm. expect. And I think she's hit that point. What do I do now? It's like, you know, Indigo Montoya. Once you're in the revenge business for so long, what do you do afterwards?
Yeah.
And I don't think she's going to turn into Dread Pirate Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
So. Loki, however, is in the TVA, so we cut back to him, and he's running through the TVA, and eventually he basically finds Mobius and B-15. Who are basically discussing the events of the what happened of basically the timeline fracturing, and they're basically talking. They actually said, "Are we supposed to fix this?" And Mobius goes, "Is that what he even wants? Does he want us to fix this?" And obviously, it's actually this point they're not saying timekeepers, and goes, they're going, "He mm-hmm. wants," but we don't catch we kind of go over our heads a little bit. We don't kind of catch that bit. Is that what he wants? He wants us to do. Loki confronts them, tries to get attention because he thinks it's Mobius and B-15 that he knows. He says he needs the help to stop Immortus. That he's utterly terrifying, and you know they gotta go back and stop him and kill him. But Mobius and B-15 don't recognize him at all. In fact, Mobius asks him, "What bureau do you belong to?"
Yeah,
and he looks horrified, and we look out. He turns his head, looking horrified, and we see what he's looking at. Basically, it's a statue of a variation of Nathaniel Richards, Tank, Mortis, whatever, by himself up against the lifts. That's where there used to be the three timekeepers,
mm-hmm.
just a statue of a Kang.
Yep.
And Loki begins to comprehend that everything he's just known has completely changed again.
Mm-hmm.
And then credits.
That was the end.
Did I do a good recap?
Yeah.
But basically, we get through the entire credit scene, which pretty much, I think it's a lot of Easter eggs in there, which you might have had a lot of time to look at or not have a look at. And we get to the end credit scene, the end scene, and basically a stamp goes down on the TVA file saying Loki season 2. So we know there's another season coming, which should be kind of, it's kind of interesting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the only problem I found with this is basically we already knew going in that's the second season, which kind of took the peril away from the finale.
Yeah.
Because we knew Loki wasn't going to bite the big one. But maybe Sylvie might have. But now it's like, okay, they made it through. If they could have kept that season 2 news under wraps a bit more, I think that it would have more heft at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still good to see the confirmed rubber stamp. I think that's what it is. The rubber stamp has basically like confirmed it. So there. We basically watched Loki to its full, and I've done a full and fairly frank recap. Please let me know if it's fully full and frank or what I missed in the comments below. I do appreciate it. So, this is where we're at. We had the WandaVision has established the possibility of a multiverse, right?
Yeah.
The Loki series has pretty much created the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what's going to happen next? I think What If is going to establish what the multiverse is so people can get an understanding what it is.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness is going to explore it and probably cut off a couple of the perils that were in the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Wow. That was a big seismic shift in the MCU. To this point, the MCU has basically been its own self-contained universe that basically has been specific to the comic books but has been going in its own direction in our years. So it's basically it's a variation in itself. But now they're basically established there's multiple universes now. As an avid comic book reader, we actually know this. There's multiverses and that sort of thing. We kind of accept it. But this is a new thing to roll into basically an established universe. You remember, at this point, the MCU has been going for 10 years.
Yeah.
So they've established lore, they've established canon, they've established timelines.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're basically gone, we can do anything now.
Yeah.
And I think this is pretty neat and pretty exciting. I wish DC kind of did this actually. Cause I mean, then the movies would make even more sense. But this is cool. I think this is a good development. We're going to see stories coming from left, right, and center. I think they're going to, the MCU, as we know it, is going to continue. But we're going to probably see some offshoots.
Yeah.
Of various characters here and there. They're going to establish some different characters and they can explore some different things like Spider-Man going to 2099 and that sort of thing. It was sort of mm-hmm. making more sense. But anyhow, let's just finish off talking about Loki here. So, what do you think we should expect for season 2?
I have no clue. Anything's possible.
Anything is indeed possible. I think
could happen in the movies between now and next season. So
yeah, I think so.
Really hard to even predict what could possibly be coming.
Yeah, but I think Loki is going to be its own thing. So I don't see Tom Hiddleston crossing over into the movies too much. Maybe, or maybe we might see him in Quantumania. Who knows? But I think Loki is going to search for Sylvie. I think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think Sylvie is going to be on the run again because the TVA is going to come try to find her and they're going to be back and they're going to be meaner and nastier trying to find her this time. It's going to be like, you know, not trying to catch her, they're going to be trying to kill her sort of thing, I reckon.
Yeah.
Because she's killed a cat. And the variant that now comes to the TVA, which looks a little bit more militant and a little bit more martial, probably won't be very happy about that.
Mm-mm.
So we might see a nastier TVA. Rivona Renslayer, do we have any ideas what's happening to her? Has she traveled to a point in time where she finds another Kang? Or has she basically got information
Sounds like that's where she went.
Yeah. Or she got information about the other Nathaniel's Kangs and she's actually going to travel through the multiverse pruning them. She said to bring free will. and Kang does not represent free will.
Mm-mm.
So maybe that's what she's going to be doing. I've got a couple of questions here. Is there a TVA now for every multiverse? Or is the TVA, does TVA have multiple departments inside it for every multiverse?
Yeah.
Is it an office for each one, or each one's got an office?
I don't know. Or does each multiverse have a TVA?
Which one was now? And where has Loki traveled to? This TVA does not recognize who he is.
Mm-mm.
So, actually doesn't even recognize him as a Loki, which is weird.
Yeah.
And my final question here is, will Mobius ever get to ride that jet ski?
Guess we'll have to wait and see in season two.
I guess we'll have to wait for season two. Lots of questions. The entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, the entire Marvel, the MCU has changed. This is actually a game-changing event. It's not like a reset, like basically what happened with Thanos, where basically they kind of reset it, everything, which is 5 years later. This actually changed everything, this has.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a lot more of this multiverse stuff seep into Marvel lore. It has happened a lot. There's crazy dimension crossovers and all kinds of wacky stuff that's happened. But I think Marvel have done this in a really good way. They basically took their time to, again, damn them. They've basically took their time to basically go establish, show, tell, and not just throw it at us.
Yeah.
And basically, this is what's going to happen now. This is and that kind of thing. And I think Marvel, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the way they basically form together works really well in that way. So I'm looking forward to see what they got coming next. And I think the next.
Me too, I'm excited.
The next movie, next Marvel event is What If, I believe. Yes, August 11th. We obviously will be following and breaking it down here in the Nick and Gene show. Also, the next Marvel movie, I believe, is Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Five Rings. Am I right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I think after that we get Doctor Strange and then Ant-Man Quantumania after that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got lots of good Marvel stuff coming at us still. We've got lots of Marvel Disney Plus shows. Coming at us, we're basically going to really, really explore the universe a bit deeper. We've got like She-Hulk coming, Miss Marvel coming. We've got all kinds of fun stuff coming. Hawkeye's promises going to be exciting. We're basically the revelation that Yolanda is going to be hunting down Hawkeye. And I think we're in for a good show. Some good shows. I think we've got some great storytelling ahead. Anyhow, that's all I got. You got anything else?
I think that's all for tonight.
All for tonight. Okay. Well, once again, thank our tens of listeners for listening. Don't forget to check out our sponsor, Oldwood Studios, the home of the Night Guardians. And take care, and you'll have fun now. And that's all this week, nerdlings. If you enjoy our nerdly ramblings, then please be a peach and make sure to like and subscribe. You'll also find the Nick and Gene Show wherever you digest your podcast, so just search for us on your favorite podcast channel. And be sure to leave a kind review and a couple of stars to upvote us. It's always appreciated. This has been an Oldwood Studio production. You all take care now. Bye-bye.